Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon on Faith Radio. And there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome to Connecting Faith. Welcome to the Monday broadcast. Appreciate your company. Always nice to have you along. I'm Neil Stavem at Ted Ross Controls. Chris is at the phones. We've got a great hour ahead of us. And looking forward to interacting with you. Just do want to mention that we've talked about it before, but we're encouraging you to make prayer a regular part of your life. And we certainly appreciate you praying for Faith Radio. I know many of you do. And we also have a prayer team. In fact, you can join the Faith Radio prayer team. We send monthly or weekly emails out. And one of the areas of focus that we regularly pray about is about the families and communities, that we can build strong communities through strong families. So just would mention that if you want to go online at myfaithradio.com. You could sign up to be a prayer team member. It's worthwhile doing.
Yeah, wonderful opportunity for people to be lifting up the station and other needs.
Yeah, and you get a weekly update on that. Also, do want to mention, speaking of Faith Radio, a couple of our stations doing a little work this week. Faith 1270 in the Sioux Falls area, they're going to be at reduced power on and off this week as they're doing some engineering work there. And in the Red River Valley, at the Faith 1200 in Fargo, they're operating at reduced power because there's construction of an electrical line right near the transmitter site. So apparently, instead of frying everything, you know, although I think the toast is really good, the guys are having it in the morning, but so they've reduced power a little bit there. And so just to be aware of that, if you aren't getting quite the signal that you normally were in Sioux Falls or in the Fargo-Moorhead, that may be why. So.
That sounds good. Well, Neil, I had a great day yesterday. I took my wife to the Vikings game. It was good time together at a good environment. So the dating thing with your spouse is important, I think, don't you think?
Absolutely. My wife went to return something at a store. I went to a farm store. So that was kind of how our day went. We're a little further along in our marriage than you are, so maybe that's it. All right, let's get to today's guest and find out about marriage mentoring and some encouragement. Matt Lair is and his wife Pam, founders of Dare to Be Different Incorporated. It's a nonprofit organization that focuses on strengthening families by empowering marriages. Matt and his wife, Pam, have been involved in many different ministries throughout the years, which has given them a unique blend of insight and wisdom that touch people of all ages. And we're excited to have them with us. They've moved out of their corporate careers to move into this ministry. In fact, Matt is coming to the area for those in the Twin Cities area later this week, along with Dr. Emerson Egrich, to provide a marriage mentoring summit for pastors and leaders. We'll tell you a bit more about that as we go along. But Matt, welcome to Connecting Faith. Good to have you on with us.
Thank you. I'm excited about spending some time with you today and excited for what God's going to do through this.
You know, we're living in a day and age where it seems like a lot of marriages are in trouble in this country, and we'd probably say our nation is in trouble as well. Are the two related?
Oh, they're very related. I think as goes the marriage, goes our churches. As goes our marriage, goes our dreams. And actually, one of my strong points is as goes my marriage, goes my calling. Hmm. Everything God's called me to do and to achieve is standing on the health of my marriage. I've seen many pastors lose their pastorship over a broken marriage. Seen many ministry leaders lose the ministry God's bestowed upon them because of a broken marriage. And it's a pretty big deal.
Say a little bit more about how you were in engineering, your wife was in nursing, and you decided that you need to focus on this and the organization's name, in fact, Dare to Be Different. What do you mean by Dare to Be Different?
Well, we have a few different meanings. I left a corporate world. The Lord grabbed a hold of me halfway through my career, started working with ministries on the side, and all of a sudden I just really felt called, and so through some prayer and fasting, and Pam and I agreed, by the way, when I went in and quit my job and walked away from a career. So we completely communicated through that, and we agreed, and she walked away from her nursing career. But dare to be different is to be different than the world, be different than what the world says our marriage and family should look like, and be different on behalf of Jesus Christ, and just be different. And in today's world, I think that's exactly what we need to do.
What would you say are the key areas where we, as the body of Christ, you know, men and women that follow Jesus, claim the name of Jesus, their marriages don't look any different from how the world maybe looks at marriage?
That's a really good question. I appreciate that, because I ask that question often. And right now we were counseling a couple, and they'd been longtime churchgoers, and they're separated, wanting a divorce. And I ask the question, I ask this all the time, do you know what the Bible says about what you should do in the situation you're in? You're angry, you're hurt, you've been betrayed somehow. Maybe it's not an affair. Maybe you just felt like you haven't been loved. Do you know what the Bible says? I cannot tell you how many times someone says, no, I've not looked at the Bible. I don't let the Bible direct my decisions. They just want out. And these are Christian couples. These are couples that attended church for years and years and years, and they're not making decisions based on what God says. It's on what society says. Get out. Get out. You deserve happiness. Go find someone else who can treat you happy. And that crushes my heart, but that's a very strong common phenomena that we're seeing out there in the Christian community.
In fact, you focus on a well-known Old Testament verse as a way to bring about change in your marriage, or even say how to fix your spouse. So talk about Second Chronicles 7:14. I mean, we typically think about it in terms of healing the land, but there's more to it there. Talk about the importance of that verse.
Yeah, I kind of stumbled across this message I put together years ago called How to Fix Your Spouse, and the reason is so many people come into marriage counseling not to get fixed. I'm here so you can fix her, or I'm here so you can fix him. And because I see that happen so often, I decided to write a sermon on it and preach it all across the nation. And it's based on 2 Chronicles 7:14. If you want your spouse fixed, humble yourself, seek the Lord, and turn from your own wicked ways. He'll hear from you, forgive your sins, and heal your land/home, marriage, and life. And not only did that message impact me greatly, but it's exactly what my dad did. My mother left him for her lover. And he said to her on her way out the door, take however long you need with your lover, and I'm going to wait for you. And he chose to fix my mother by doing this, by standing on that one verse. And for 1 year, he humbled himself, sought the Lord, turned from what his flesh said, which is divorce her, you deserve better. And 1 year later, my mom came back to him and repented, and he took her in, and he loved her all the days of her life, and they were married 60 years. They had four more sons after that, and one of those four sons is me. This man showed me how to love his wife when she didn't deserve it.
Would people say, well, that's an exception, it's not the norm? Talk about that and just flesh that out a little bit.
Well, by and large, today, that is outrageous to think that a man would do that, or a woman would wait on her husband and forgive him. And so certainly that is not the norm, especially today with our culture and our society. And, it's like I asked this wife recently, have you ever studied what God says about forgiveness and the depths of it and the power and the fruit on the other side, and the miracles are all on the other side of forgiving? And she looked at me and said, no, I've never studied it. I just want out.
Which is, I guess, why you have taken on the challenge to say, let's train up pastors and leaders and men and women that are willing to, that are in healthy marriages, to encourage others, right?
Well, we did. We created a marriage mentoring technique 10 years ago. We have over right around 7,000 mentors trained in 7 different countries. We have a method, and I like to use the word method because lay people, it's a daunting thing to sit in front of a broken marriage for 10 weeks. It's not a curriculum. It's not a workbook. It's a very, very strategic method. And I fell in love with Dr. Emerson Eggerich at Love and Respect. I fell in love with his message. First time I went to it years and years ago, I walked out of there thinking, man, that guy's anointed. He has the anointing on him from the Lord. That message that God gave him is anointed. And little did I know then that we would fully merge and partner together, and we would take our mentoring method and we would connect it to his message. And so it's been a wonderful journey. And so, yeah, I'm excited about this event coming up.
It's for those in the Twin Cities area or willing to make the drive. It's for pastors and leaders called Marriage Mentoring Summit. And it is going to be held at River Valley Church in Shakopee. It's coming up on the 26th of October. And we'll post a link on our website here. You can get more information on that here at myfaithradio.com. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in the moments ahead. Also want to encourage you, if you would like to get some questions about maybe how you can strengthen your marriage, or you know a couple that is going through some challenges and you'd like to be able to come alongside them. We'll get some great advice today from Matt Lair. Matt is organizer or founder of Dare to Be Different. It's a nonprofit organization focusing on strengthening families by empowering marriages. Matt and his wife, Pam, take this on. They have mentoring techniques, a method that we'll talk more about here in the moments ahead. We'd love to have you join the conversation. The phone number is 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. The idea of being in love and marriage, but making it last for a lifetime, and that takes work. We're talking about marriage as a lifelong union, a relationship between man and woman, as husband and wife. That in itself has sort of come under fire recently, and Matt Lair maybe can address that for us. Matt is the founder of Dare to Be Different, Inc. In fact, if you want to find out more about their work or the Marriage Mentoring Summit that they're leading here coming up later this week in our area, it's daretobedifferent.com. Matt, maybe just address that about, you know, society that has sort of moved marriage as, you know, something that's not really relevant, or it's only based on love.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of things happen in the last 10 years. First of all, as we all know, the definition of marriage is under fire. It's being redefined. I think that I'm hearing and seeing a lot of things, too, where professional women are kind of being told, don't ever be in a position where you depend on a man. I'm seeing another thing in California where I was at recently, where they have what's called starter marriages. They're telling people to go into your first marriage knowing it's going to fail, and that's okay. Just go into it with that expectation, get that first marriage out of your way, and then you can always get married again or again and again. And this is our culture. And we're going to have to be honest about it and face it as a church and as a nation and try to figure out, if continuing down this path, what's it really going to do to our family and our children and our future?
And clearly it does have impact. I mean, you, your family upbringing, even as an example, you know that your father, your parents' marriage rocked by divorce by an affair, and yet you know, we're able to work through it. I mean, we give up pretty quickly, don't we, today?
We do, and it saddens me. I mean, of all the couples that we're mentoring nationally as a team of mentors, I would say affairs are not the number one thing that we're facing. I think obviously there's many, but you know, I would say by a much larger percentage, people want to give up on marriages for other reasons than anything that significant. It's the day-to-day unmet expectations. It's those probing things that have been left unattended for years. It creates angst. It's Facebook and the social media connects me to past friends or lovers or boyfriends or girlfriends, and all of a sudden it's just the perfect storm for a marriage to not succeed.
You make a statement I've noticed on your website. The statement said, our life and marriage isn't about us. That seems counterintuitive. So what is marriage about then?
Well, again, I think my marriage is more about my calling. I think my marriage is more about what God wants for me and the legacy he wants to leave behind with me and my wife together. And I think sometimes I see this often is people come into counseling saying, I want to be happy. I want to be served. It's about me and what I want. And there's an element of truth to that. Certainly, I want you to be happy. But more so than you being happy and your spouse being happy, I want you to be in God's complete, perfect will. I want God's calling to reign in your life. And that's kind of, it's a shift. It's a shift of focus. It's a shift of priority. It's like my priority now is more in what God wants for us than it is on what I want for me. And so we do bring that to the table when we help couples.
What does that look like to come into marriage or to be into a marriage, stay in a marriage, because, you know, it's part of God's calling on your life as a couple?
Well, I think the priority of staying in a marriage, man, it trickles down greatly. I mean, every married couple's children are going to face difficulties in their marriages. And I'll say to those parents the same thing that I thought as a child. When I went through some tough times in my marriage, the first thing that I thought of is, what would my dad do? And I don't know if we realize that's how strong of an impact our parents have on us, is what would mom and dad do? What did mom and dad do? And so I think when couples get through their dark moments and their valleys and they forgive and they repent and they show their children the power of forgiving and repenting, their children are then going to learn how to do it in their futures and their lives. And it has a tremendous impact on the generations beyond just your marriage.
We talked a few minutes ago about that well-known verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14. You know, the message that you've talked about, how to fix your spouse. And three things: we humble ourselves, we seek God's face, we turn from our wicked ways. You know, say more about just the humbling of ourselves. We live in a world that is just the exact opposite, right? We need to build up ourselves, and it's all about self today, it seems like.
Yeah, you're right, and it's a really well said, because I think. And I'll use myself as an example. The times that we've had issues in my marriage, it's often I can look in the mirror and say, man, I was full of pride. My issues, it's a hard issue. I'm not a humble husband in this moment. And this tailors really well with love and respect. And Dr. Emerson challenges us to love our wives even when they don't deserve it. Well, that's impossible unless you choose to be a humble husband. And in his message, he challenges wives to respect their husbands when they don't deserve it. Well, that's impossible without the element of humility. And I've done a lot of research on the word humility in the Bible, and it's one of God's number one traits that he admires. I found the word over 88 times in Scripture. It is sort of a character trait that I cannot overdo. I can't be too humble. And so as I'm growing in my faith, I'm trying and trying to be every day to be a little bit more humble, a little bit more of a servant everywhere I go.
That's, you know, step one. Step two is seeking God's face. Say more. What does that look like in the heat of battle,
right,
or the midst of conflict?
Well, yeah. So my father died in December. He was by far the most godly man I'd ever known. And I got a keepsake from him. It was one of four of his Bibles. And when I opened that thing up, I kid you not, I just want you to imagine you're picturing this man's Bible, and the pages were all tethered. And I want you to imagine for a second visually that you could almost not even read the text, because he had so many notes and highlights and ink colors and pens, page after page. I mean, cover to cover, that thing was littered with his thoughts and his notes. That's what seeking God looks like. I'm in the Word. I'm on my knees in my war room. I'm seeking him in prayer. I'm seeking him in reading. And what would God do in this moment? I've got a troubled marriage. What would God? What's the Bible say about this particular issue that I have in my marriage? And it's hard to make poor choices when you're seeking God in that way.
Is this something that we do together or individually or both?
I would say both. I would stress individually. Both are good. Individually, I think, is certainly my walk with God must foremost be my own. I must have my own strong walk with the Lord. I want to know the Lord. And then if that spills over in couples time, great. But first and foremost, be in the Word as a man. Be in the Word as a woman. I know some couples who have an amazing marriage, and they rarely get together and do studies together. And I know some who do them together, and that's fine too. But more so than being together, make sure I have an individual, personal quest.
And say more about that third step, turning from our wicked ways. We mentioned the word repentance a few times.
Yeah, turning is really another acronym for, or not acronym, it's just synonymous with repenting. And, when there's trouble in my marriage, there's times when the moment passes, I'd like to go to Pam and say, hey, babe, I'm sorry, it's me. God, forgive me, it's me. Pam, forgive me, it's me. And then turn from my way, turn from my pattern, look in the mirror. And, in Psalm 51, King David did that. One of the reasons I think God favored King David wasn't because he was perfect. I mean, he made some very, very poor decisions in adultery and murder and deceit. But what he did in Psalm 51 was like the pinnacle of turning. He fell on his face before the Lord and cried out and wept. I could just imagine him weeping before our God, crying out, saying, God, it's me. And he repented in one of the most dramatic, broken ways. It's one of the reasons I think God favored him. And that's what I want in my life. I want to turn from my ways. It's not a one-time deal. I want it to be a lifestyle. And I want the Lord's mercy. And David gives us a really good example in Scripture on that part.
Talking about how we can change, fix our spouse. Actually, we do it by fixing ourselves when we get centered on that important verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Yeah. We humble ourselves, we seek God's face, we turn from our wicked ways. We're going to get more fresh insight from Matt Lehrer in just a few minutes. Matt and his wife Pam founded Dare to Be Different. They left actually their corporate careers to focus on strengthening marriages across the nation. And Matt, along with Dr. Emerson Eggerich, will be in the area here a little bit later this week to be a part of a Pastors and Leaders Marriage Mentoring Summit. We'll get into that a little bit more and talk about what does it look like to be a mentor. And again, some practical ways that if we know a couple who seems to be struggling in their marriage, what could we do? And what does it take to really come along, walk alongside somebody who's maybe going through some challenges? If you'd like to find out more about this, how this can actually make a difference in your church and more importantly, make a difference in your community, you can go to daretobedifferent.com. That's daretobedifferent.com. You can register, get information about that, and find out about the marriage mentoring method, process. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in the moments ahead as well. It's coming up October 26th at River Valley Church in Shakopee with Matt Lehrer and Dr. Emerson Eggerich, and we'll talk more with Matt in just a moment. If you have a question for us, we'd love to have you join the conversation. The number is 877-933-2484. Maybe there's someone in your life that's walked with you through a difficult time and helped you, point you in the right direction, helped you get your marriage back on a solid footing. Love to hear that. You can join the conversation at 877-933-2484. If it's more convenient to drop us a note, you can go to myfaithradio.com, click on the Connecting Faith show page, and just leave us an email that way. We'll continue with Matt Lehrer in just a moment. Stay tuned.
Love is not proud. Love does not boast. Love, after all, matters the most.
Oftentimes during marriage ceremonies, 1 Corinthians 13 is read or recited. And yet we don't always apply it very well day in and day out. Anyway, we're talking about building healthy marriages, and out of that we build strong churches, we build strong communities, and we see life changed, and we reflect God's design for husband and wife to be in lifelong commitment. We're talking marriage mentoring and strengthening today with Matt Lehrer. Matt is a founder, along with his wife Pam, of Dare to Be Different. It's a nonprofit organization focuses on strengthening families by empowering marriages. He, along with Dr. Emerson Eggerich, are going to be in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area coming up later this week for a Pastors and Leaders Marriage Mentoring Summit. And Matt, I'd like to just talk a little bit about what is mentoring? What do we mean by that? And sort of who's qualified to do it?
That's a great lead-in, because a lot of times the idea of helping another couple is very daunting. It's very scary. In training thousands of mentors, I myself was trained on four different marriage mentoring processes. That's kind of how I started dabbling. And frankly, after leading the ministry in a church of 3,000 for a couple years, I was confronted, or I should say addressed, by the mentors. We had 50 to 80 couples were mentoring. And they came to me and they said, we need something far more comprehensive than all the training I brought in. They need something more dynamic, more street smart, so to speak. And that's really what put a fire in me to quit my job and to help build it. And what they were really saying is all the stuff that we were using wasn't necessarily bad, but either it was too surface level or it was too much teaching. And when you get in front of a couple who's in a crisis, what we discovered is teaching isn't the best approach. They're not teachable. As Jesus says, we need to plant seed on fertile soil so it will yield 30, 60, 100 times the fruit. We discovered this phenomenon where couples were coming into the sessions not teachable at all. What do you do? And this is kind of where they came to me and said, help us build a method. It was almost like the perfect storm, because coming out of engineering, I'm like, what in the world would God use me for, or my wife? We don't have any background in marriage certification. But, you know, God has a pattern of using the least of us to do his greatest work, and that's where I come in. Praise the Lord. And so over the next year, we quit our jobs, and over the next year, we took around 70 or 80 mentors who were very seasoned, just in ministry and in life, in the Lord, and together we built a method with them, for them, and to be used through them. Our theory was this: if mentors, if just lay couples, strong in their faith, strong in their marriage, could help build it, and they would like it, and it would work, and it was effective, and it would thrive with them, it probably would work coast to coast, and we weren't wrong. And so we need to break down this method. It's into three pillars. And I'll share with you the three pillars and then ask you what you want to do with that. Okay. The first pillar is mediation. The second pillar is teaching. And the third pillar is confronting. Those are the three pillars that build up our method.
Well, let's just expand on those a bit more. And then we'll get to our calls at 877-93-FAITH. But so mediation, that's step one. Explain more about that.
Yeah, so what we realized, especially when dealing with crisis couples, whether they're Christian or not, often that first session, maybe second, they don't come in very teachable. And so we decided to build a visual, a very specific method of mediation, where we train lay couples how to mediate with any couple, anytime, any issue. We created a baseball diamond, and it is the method of mediation, so we're going to get from first to second to third to home with one issue in that marriage. We're gonna select an issue. We're gonna confirm why it's an issue on second base. On third base, we're gonna get them to offer a solution to the issue, and they're gonna come up with a solution. They're gonna negotiate. They're gonna secure it. They're gonna do all the work, not the mentor. I'm a mediator. Mediators don't fix. We're not gonna micromanage them. I'm not gonna tell them what to do and micromanage them. They're going to have to do the work. And then when they come to agreement, that's a resolve. So that's the score, getting around the bases. Lay people love it because it's clear. It gives me rules. It gives me guardrails. And I now can get in front of any couple, whether they know God or not, whether they're teachable or not, and I have a method that will allow me to penetrate into their hearts. And that's why we mediate first, and then we teach second.
Talk more about what does the teaching look like then once they need to be teachable,
sure.
Right?
Sure. We actually put a 17-page scripture reference guide in the hands of the mentor guide. It's in the mentor manual. 17 pages of scripture references that are alphabetical and topical based on marriage and family conflict. Once I score with a couple, once I get them around the bases, it's almost like letting the Holy Spirit till their soil with a rotor tiller while I'm mediating. I'm giving the Lord time because he's the one that tills their soil. When they're done, I say, hey, guys, I'm real proud of you. You just scored. You just resolved an issue. Now, before we move on to your next issue, let me teach you what God has to say. And that's where I plant a few verses. I also, at that time, can plant any kind of discernment or wisdom, or like, let's say I went to a Love and Respect conference and I've got some really, really good Love and Respect biblical messages. So when I become the teacher, I organically grab whatever is biblically relevant to the issue I just scored on. And I don't turn it into a 40-minute sermon. It's just I teach at the rate their soil will allow. And if you think of it over 10 weeks, it gets progressively deeper as the weeks go on. And so that's the second pillar teaching.
And then the third, the final step.
Confronting core sin, confronting the core heart, confronting patterns of sin or rebellion. And so I always say this, I don't ever want to confront someone until I've earned the right. I want to love them first. I want to teach them second to see if they're teachable. And if they're not, if there's core sin that's in the way of them being taught or being led out of the wilderness, so to speak, now it's time to confront. And I will say this, we built a method of confronting that is very loving. It's very, very effective. It's very kind. But I'll say this, often miracles are on the other side of confronting someone. And I think it's a lost art in the world. It's a lost art in the Christian community where this religion of tolerance is sweeping our nation. Tolerate everything, confront nothing. Well, we're pushing back on that in a big way. And miracles are found on the other side of confronting core sin. And the output of that tool asks them to acknowledge, confess, and repent on the spot, in the moment, for what they've discovered was sinful. Out loud, in front of your spouse, would you repent? Why? Because according to 2 Chronicles 7:14, healing will find you. Healing will find your marriage, your heart. And so when you put these three together, mediate, teach, and then confront progressively over 10 weeks, in my opinion, I know I'm biased, it's the best mentoring method out there.
Matt Lehr will be along with Dr. Emerson Eggerich for a Pastors and Leaders Marriage Mentoring Summit coming up later this week for those in the Twin Cities area. But if you're not in the area, you can still find out more about their work at daretobedifferent.com, daretobedifferent.com. Earlier, Matt, you were talking about a couple you were counseling, and you asked the question, do you know what the Bible says about your situation? That's a question that this caller wants to remain anonymous is asking on line one. Go ahead. You're on with Matt Lehr.
Yes, gentlemen. Thank you very much for having me on. Matt, bless you, and as well you, Neil, for what you're doing. I've heard what you have put together here, and wow, I wish I would have had this before going through my divorce. So bottom line is did a lot of stuff that wasn't effective as far as counseling and the sort. So now that we're divorced, I still have concern, feelings for my wife, obviously, and for my kids. And what does the Bible say I should be doing now? Trying to, praying for restraint.
Is she remarried or are you remarried?
No, neither one of us are remarried. I don't even know if there's another person in the picture for her, but you know, we still go to church, okay. The same church, our kids. It's a friendly thing, and it's really humbled me a lot. God has really taught me a lot.
My answer to your question is this, to pray about the idea of you both, even though you're divorced, my suggestion would be that you pray about the idea of meeting with a mentor couple right there in your city. And if you need help, I'll connect you to mentors right there in the Minneapolis area. And consider going through 10 weeks of mentoring to see if God could blow a miracle back into that relationship. You see, God's a God of restoration. That's the gospel is about the power of restoration, God's ability to restore us and hopeless relationships that were broken. Because neither of you are remarried, I think there's huge opportunity here for a miracle to happen.
Matt, say more about just that kind of baseline question. You know, do you know what the Bible says about your situation? What does the Bible say about divorce? And you know, when they're maybe at this point where that's a decision that was made some time ago?
Well, first of all, I would say divorce is not an unforgiven sin. And so I tell people all the time, if you've gotten divorced, Know that God still loves you biblically. You are not to be marked and set aside. Malachi says God hates divorce. The Bible says God hates divorce, and here's why, in my opinion. Because he loves you. He loves your innocent children. The Bible says God hates it, and I think it's because he knows how much it's going to hurt you and your children who are innocent. As far as when should you divorce and when shouldn't you divorce, that's a very long – I got a very long answer to that. But I'm gonna say two things. One is submit to the leadership of your church, because there are certain churches that have very, very strong opinions on that. And I want you to submit to the elders of your church and your church's doctrine on that. But here's my quick answer. In general, I don't think having an affair warrants a divorce. And you can always feel free to reach out to me, and I'll give you the long version why. There's a thousand, you know, metaphorically, there's a thousand scriptures on forgive, 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 forgive. God's forgiven me, forgive, forgive, forgive. I think if you're physically in harm's way and you're abused, and the abuse, you separate, and then the abuser doesn't get help and stop abusing, I think that there's warrant that warrants getting out from under that. I think if you're with someone who's a chronic cheater, they abandon the marriage biblically. I think an abandonment sheds a different light on the idea that divorce is okay. But I'm going to tell you, most of these extremes are not what we're seeing out there. I mean, I see a very high percentage of couples are divorcing, not because of any chronic affairs or physical abuse. It's just because they want out. And so biblically, I would ask this brother to consider the idea of reconciling.
You know, as you've talked about, this is not these are not trained counselors. It's not pastoral staff that's doing this mentoring. These are just, as you would describe, healthy couples, right? The more seasoned in their walk that are coming alongside those.
You got it. And I'm going to tell you, we just took on a couple who came from therapy, and I'm all for therapy. I'm all for counseling if your counselor is a Christian. If your counselor is a Christian, by the way, do your homework. I've called many, many Christian counselors, and I quizzed them. And I'm not against counseling, but I am against putting my future and my family in the hands of someone that doesn't know Jesus and doesn't follow the biblical pattern. And I've interviewed many, many Christian counselors who admit they don't use the Bible, they don't pray, they don't refer to the Bible, and they don't push back on divorce. So do your homework. All of the mentors we train are trained to push back on divorce and to push for reconciliation, push for repentance, push for forgiveness, regardless. And certainly if you're in harm's way, that's different. If you're in harm's way, we push that you protect yourself first physically. But mentors are trained to push back on the idea of divorce in the name of Jesus and trust in his power and his ability. And so we're mentoring this couple right now, and they came in, and we just unashamedly said, listen, we're going to fight for your marriage. And the lady said to us, this is different. Our therapist doesn't fight for our marriage and, frankly, kind of wants us to divorce. Well, that's not how we work. And I've lost track of how many times we'll take on a couple who came from therapy, and their therapist is encouraging them to divorce.
Talking today about marriage mentoring, about encouraging one another to see what God's Word has to say about marriage, about understanding God's calling on our life, with Matt Lehrer, Matt and his wife Pam, founded Dare to Be Different. It's a nonprofit organization focusing on strengthening families by empowering marriages. And we'll give more information about their work and the website daretobedifferent.com coming up in a moment. I want to talk a bit more about mentoring. How do we evaluate or measure success in this? And what happens when an entire church catches the vision for this? We'll get to that and more in just a moment with Matt Lehrer. If you have a question or comment, you can join us as well at 877-93-FAITH. Talking about the marriage today, and in fact, it's countercultural today, it seems like, to be willing to commit to a marriage for the long haul. And hearing from Matt Lehrer today, Matt and his wife Pam founded Dare to Be Different. Matt was involved in leading singles ministries, ministering to sexually abused boys, combined with Pam's wise counsel and passion to protect and build and strengthen marriages, made them powerful advocates for healthy marriages in the country. And Matt is, along with Dr. Emerson Eggerichs, they've teamed up their ministries, Love and Respect Ministries and Dare to Be Different, to do marriage mentoring. And I'm interested, Matt, I guess, to find out more about, is there a sort of measurable outcome to evaluate success? What is, how do you measure success in this work?
Well, that's, yeah, that's a very important thing to us. Coming from 20 years in the corporate world, and launching into ministry for the first time at my late 30s, I made a decision that I don't want to just sell products. Selling products is never going to be a measure of success for me. Matter of fact, I fought against even building products for that reason. So what we design is a way to measure success when we train churches. And one of the reasons that I felt so passionate is, I guess this was the engineer in me, as I called and researched many, many churches. I think immediately I researched 50 to 100 churches who had already invested in marriage mentoring. And I contacted them and asked questions and investigated. And I found out most of those churches, if not all of them, almost, had completely discontinued the mentoring. They had failed. They never really, nobody ever even got mentored. And so somebody sold them a product, yet the product really never had any impact. Boy, that really worried me. I'm like, that's not who I want to be. Even if I got rich selling stuff, I don't want that. We decided to do this. We're going to train a church, and we're going to walk with them for a year. And a year later, I'm going to call them. I'm going to ask these questions. How many couples got mentored? How many marriages got saved? How many people found a walk with Jesus Christ for the first time in their life? They chose to believe and follow Jesus Christ because of the mentors. That's the measure of success. Is the ministry active? How can we keep it active? How can we get it active? And so we've built three or four more pieces to our training that helps churches build a stronger plan. And frankly, at the Marriage Mentoring Summit, we're going to talk very much about that. This longer plan strategy thinking rather than just a flash-in-the-pan product pushing. That's not what we're going to do. And so we've had really good success at calling churches, follow-up years yet later. How you doing? How can I help you? How can I serve you? If you failed, if 6 months has gone by and nobody's been mentored, can we come back and consult with you? Can we fix that? And it's been wonderful. I mean, it warms my heart to know that that's really our measure of success.
What does it look like for a church to become committed to mentoring? I mean, how does that impact the community or the church body?
Well, two things. And first of all, I'm going to say this quickly. If you're interested in coming to the summit, which is Monday the 26th, and you are not a leader in your church, but you would like to be, you'd like to spend 8 hours with us, take a day off work. Take a vacation day, come to the summit, learn all about the ins and outs, and then you can take this to your leadership in your church and say, hey, would you be interested? And so I'll plug that right there. But my answer to the question is when a church trains up a team of mentors, let's talk about the impact. I just trained up in Maryland, I trained up 45 couples, 45 strong, godly couples. Who had never been in any kind of training before for marriage. It was 8 hours, and now they're going to launch them to the church. That very next night, I did an event for the church, and just under 100 couples signed up to get mentored. Get mentored. So we're taking the load off of the church staff. We're taking the load off of the staff. They can't handle all that. And we're empowering the healthy in the body of Christ on how to take care of the broken in the body of Christ. And that's miraculous to see. It has a huge impact on a church. Secondly, is we strategically train churches how to leverage the team of marriage mentors into their community. In other words, let's broadcast this to the unchurched. Let's promote marriage mentoring to the community where they couples need marriage help and they're not saved, they don't know Christ. So that way, lay marriage mentors in their homes for 10 weeks can not only help a marriage but they're going to connect that couple to Jesus Christ in their home and then connect them to their church. That excites me. I've lost track of how many couples have found Christ because of marriage mentors throughout the country. I had a farmer call me recently crying on the phone. He's a longtime friend of mine. And he was actually in the cab of his tractor picking corn. And he was crying. And I said, man, are you okay? Is everything okay? And he's like, yeah. And he said, last night, I led the very first person to the Lord in my whole life. We were mentoring a couple. And that the husband chose to believe and follow Jesus in my home. And I'm calling you to tell you because I'm so overjoyed. Didn't know God could use me to help a marriage and lead someone to Jesus. Wow.
Yeah. Thank you for that good reminder, Matt. You've teamed up with Emerson Eggerich, the Love and Respect Ministry. What is it that's so revolutionary about Emerson's message, Love and Respect?
Frankly, I think the most revolutionary part of it is actually the respect part. I think Emerson has the courage to speak to women on how God would like them to treat their men. And that is a very scary thing to do with today's movement of women's lib and all of those things. It kind of flies in the ointment of the culture. And Emerson decided to preach hard on what men need to do with their wives, but yet he also had no fear of sharing what God says women should do with their husbands. And I think that's what makes it so powerful. And how we integrated is we took his message, and while we mediate every single session, if either the husband is unloving towards the wife, or if the wife is disrespectful towards the husband, we will confront them. So we've trained all of our mentors on Ephesians 5:33, which is love and respect. We've also trained them on how to incorporate that into mentoring. And at the end of every session, we have the husband rate his wife on how respected he felt in the last 7 days, scale of 1 to 10. After every session, she rates how loved she felt from him, scale of 1 to 10. They both get to see how the other rated them, and then each one of them writes down one thing that the other needs to do in order to feel more loved and respected. And that's how we end every session, and that's how we integrate it to love and respect.
Only have about 2 minutes or 90 seconds left. If we know of a couple that seems to be struggling in their marriage, maybe, or a spouse hurting, what should we do or maybe not do?
If a spouse is hurting, if we know of a spouse as a mentor, what should we do or not do?
Yeah.
If we know of a spouse who is hurting, the first thing that I would encourage you to do, if you're listening, is to meet with them, love on them, commit to meeting with them 5 to 10 times, and do your best to share the power of reconciliation, the power of forgiveness, the power of repentance. Get them plugged in. Make sure they're plugged into a church. And if it's in the Twin City area, there are many churches there that do have mentors. We've trained 6 to 10 churches, maybe more, that have marriage mentors. Get them plugged in. Plus, we do what's called Skype mentoring. So if you know someone, you can contact us. We can have a mentor them using Skype from anywhere in the world. And lastly, get trained. If you're listening, you're like, man, I want to fight for marriage. I want to fight for families. Then get trained. Come to one of our trainings. Talk to your church. Take the mantle. Be the leader in your church. Come to the marriage summit. Get equipped so that you and an army in your church can fight back. What not to do, don't discourage them. Don't encourage divorce. Ask them to see their elders or their deacons or their church. If I always say this, if you really want to get divorced, go see your elders. Go see your deacons. Get their blessing. Get them to support your decision, or don't do it. I mean, can you imagine how that would change the landscape of our culture if we went to our elders or our deacons and said, I want a divorce, can you help me? So there you go. Thanks for time. I sure appreciate it.
DareToBeDifferent.com. Check it out, DareToBeDifferent.com. Matt Lehrer, Matt and his wife Pam, founders of Dare to Be Different, and joining us today. We'll put a link up on our website here after the show, as well as posting the interview. So if you missed part of it, you can catch it, or maybe better yet, pass it on to a friend. Go to myfaithradio.com and then click on the Connecting Faith show page to listen to that audio archive online.